We're going to read in James chapter 1, and it has something very important to say to us here about the Bible, about God's Word. James chapter 1 from verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," or as we would say, a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I want to speak today about a dutiful reading and hearing of God's Word. In this particular series, we've noticed a whole range of things that should be uppermost in our minds when we come to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible directly. We need to be reading the Bible also devotionally. We need to be reading the Bible diligently. We need to be reading the Bible daily. We need to be reading the Bible doctrinally to find out what the teaching of the Word of God is. Today I want to speak about reading the Bible and studying the Bible dutifully. And if you look at James chapter 1 verse 22, it really says it better, of course, than I could, because this is God's Word. "But be ye doers," it means practitioners of the Word, "and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is all too possible for us under the preaching of God's Word to be hearers only and not those who practice the Word of God. But it's also true of our reading of the Bible, our study of the Scriptures. We could read the Bible just so as we could say we've read it. We could be reading the Bible just to mark off that little part on the sheet that we have that says we should read that portion for today. But if we're reading the Bible correctly, and if we're studying it as God would have us to do, it will be in order that we might observe to do that which is written therein. And that's a phrase, by the way, that you find in the Old Testament, particularly in the books of Moses, and in particular, in the book of Deuteronomy. It uses that phrase, "observe to do," that you might observe to do. In other words, that you might not just learn to feed your head, but that you might learn that it would be laid up in your heart so that you can then practice it in your life. Because if you and I are reading the Bible, we're studying the Bible, we're hearing the preaching of the Bible, but it doesn't make any difference to the way that we live from day to day, then what good is it? What is the real benefit of the Scriptures to us if it's not making a difference in our lives? So when we study the Bible as the Word of God, and it is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and all the way through, it is that we might obey implicitly and exactly its every precept and its every commandment. We have to study the Bible as God's message to us. And we talked a little bit about this the last time. When I come to the Scriptures, I remember that this Word is given to all the saints of God. The faith which is once for all delivered to the saints. That's how it's described there in the little book of Jude. "Ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Lord gave the word," the psalmist said. "Great was the company of those that published it." But though it's true that all Christians have God's word given to them, I can come to the Bible as an individual and know that it's God's Word to me. There's a hymn in our book which says, "Lord, speak to me that I may speak. in living echoes of thy tone. Lord, speak to me. And that ought to be our attitude every time we come under the sound of God's word and every time we open our Bibles to read it. Lord, speak to me. Give me a word. There's another hymn which is actually based upon the words of Eli to Samuel. Remember, he told young Samuel, when God speaks to you again in the middle of the night, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the hymn says, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice which cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? You know, far too often we can read the Bible, and ministers are perhaps particularly guilty of this. We can read the Bible for other people. Here's a word for the Lord's people. And I have to remember, when I come to the Bible, God's speaking to me first. This is a word to me. And what God says to his people, he also says to me, for I'm one of his people. And if I point the finger, which is sometimes not viewed as a very good thing to do when you're talking to someone in conversation, you point the finger at them. Some people look upon that as a threatening gesture. In preaching, when you're pointing the finger, it's so that you'll know that it's for you. But remembering this, there are three fingers and a thumb coming back this way. The message is applicable to me, and it's applicable to you. So when you come to your Bible, forget about everybody else for the time being. Don't pass it on and think, well, oh, it's a great verse for so-and-so. That would be a wonderful passage for this person or that particular individual. No, let's remember, when we come to study the Bible, here is God's message to me. The Lord is speaking to me. Am I listening? I referred last time to a man in China who had the rare gift of keeping his mouth shut in seven different languages. He learned to let God do the speaking. And we are to be still and to listen and to know that he is God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. When we study our Bibles, we should do so. And it's not just in church, though it is also in church. We should be doing so as if we're in the very presence of God, because the reality is we are. We are in the presence of God. We're always in God's presence. Particularly is that true when we come to the house of the Lord, because the Lord is present there. He has promised to be, even where two or three are gathered in his name. So we're in the presence of the Lord, and though we're not hearing audible voices, at least I hope you're not, but we are hearing God's voice in his word. We are listening for God's voice. It's as though the Lord were standing right there saying these things to us. Now, I would venture to say, if the Lord was right there visibly present, if the Lord Jesus Christ was right there and you could see him and you could hear him speak, when you're sitting there listening to him, you would not be, you know, daydreaming and looking off into space. You would be in rapt attention, listening for every word that dropped from his lips. And I'm sure you would be, and I would be, like those in Scripture who wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We would be thinking, never man spake as this man. This is something I've never heard before. I've never heard anyone talk like this before. That's how it would be if we were actually sitting there in the presence of the Lord. But that's how it ought to be as we come to the Bible. The Bible does say of certain men that the Lord spoke with them face to face, or as you could translate that, mouth to mouth. And it may be that you would wish that the Lord would actually come down and talk that way to you, because you might pay more attention if he did. Well, he's not going to. I have news for you. He's not going to do that. The Lord will come again. The Lord Jesus will appear visibly. We will see him as he is. But that is the future hope of the Lord's people, that when Jesus comes, we will see him. He's not going to show us himself in that way prior to that. However, he will speak to us through his word. He will talk with us face to face, so to speak, when we open our Bibles. So come to your Bible, whether it be in the morning or whatever part of the day you read, and utter this prayer to the Lord. It doesn't have to be in these exact words, but you can pray like the psalmist did. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help me to see that there's a message here for me. Speak to me from your word. Bless me through your word. And help me to read it in a devotional attitude and with a view to obeying it. Someone said, it is great to study the Bible on your knees. It might not be the most comfortable thing to do, but you should, at least as far as your attitude is concerned, be on your knees when you come to the Bible. I'm a great believer in, when you read your Bible, to do so in good light. And one of the worst things you can do is try to read when it's a very subdued light. For a start, you'll feel like going to sleep. Have good light when you're going to read your Bible. Find a chair that's comfortable, but not too comfortable. Because if it's too comfortable, you'll go to sleep. Believe me. So, get alone as well with your Bible, if you can. Sometimes folks with larger families can find that is one of the biggest challenges of all. We have two girls, and it was challenging enough, even with those pair at times, to try to get quietness so that we could read the Bible alone. It's good to read the Bible, obviously, as a family. That's what you ought to do. But there's times when you need to get alone with God and come to the Bible on your knees and pray that the Lord will teach you how to practice it. In John chapter 7, verse 17, our Lord Jesus said something along these lines. That is with regard to dutiful attitudes when we come to the Scripture. He said this, if any man will do his will, and what that simply means is, if any man has a desire to do his will, if any man wills to do his will, in other words, he shall know of the doctrine or the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. When we come to God's word, we need to do so with a will that is wholly surrendered to God. It's not that we're going to argue with the scriptures or we're going to second guess what God is saying to us. We're going to come with a heart that's totally surrendered to the Lord. And unless we do that, the Bible is not going to open up to us. Sometimes folks think that, you know, in life God is going to roll out a scroll, like a road map for your whole life that's ahead of you, and this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. I don't believe the Lord works like that. I believe that God speaks to us on a daily basis, and as we go along, he leads us and directs us and guides us. And I think of the example, one of the best examples of this, in Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. Remember what happened when he was converted? He fell off his beast. The Lord more or less knocked him off that animal to the ground. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now notice carefully how the Lord answered him. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Lord, what do you want me to do? Is basically the question. And you will notice that the Lord did not say, now Saul, tomorrow you'll be here, the next day you'll be over here, next week you'll be in such and such a place, a month from now you'll be someplace else, a year from now, 2 years from now, this is what you'll be doing. No. The Lord did tell him that he had service for him to do. He did tell him generally what he would have him to do. But he started out this way. Acts 9 verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Here's the answer. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So, here's the first step. Obey me in going into the city. And when you do that, and when you get there, then there will be more light given. There will be more revelation given. I'm going to show you next what the step is that you're to take. And that's how it was in the life of Saul, later to become the Apostle Paul. He had a will that was surrendered to God. That's obvious from his words. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's how we should be coming to the Scriptures. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are we seeking to obey the Lord in all things? Are we seeking to come to the Scriptures with a dutiful spirit? R.A. Torrey of Chicago talked about a young woman that came to the Bible Institute that he was in, and in his opinion she seemed to have no fitness at all to be a student at any Bible Institute, let alone that one. She was entirely out of harmony with the place itself, but more than that, she was absolutely dense when it came to the things of God. She knew nothing, it seemed, about the Scriptures. Now one day she went, as all the women students were required to do, down to one of the poor slums of the city, one of the destitute areas, calling from house to house on the poor. And she became utterly disgusted with the surroundings. She quit her work and she went down to the Lakeshore Drive there in Chicago and walked along in front of the magnificent mansions there, and she said to herself, now this is what I like and this is what I'm going to have. I'm sick of Milton Avenue and Townsend Street. This is for me. And Torrey reports how that in that rebellious state of mind, that young woman returned to the Bible Institute and the bell rang for supper. She went down and took her seat at the table with the rest, still rebelling at the thought of a life of sacrifice amidst unpleasant surroundings. But just as sudden as that, at the supper table, somehow, some way, she surrendered completely to the Lord. God was speaking to her. And she sprang up from the table by this report. She rushed over to one of the other girls. She threw her arms around that girl and she said, I'm a volunteer for Africa. There was a wonderful transformation. There was a wonderful opening of her mind to the things of God, and it happened instantly. Now, Torrey said that he was away when all this happened, but when he came back, his secretary told him about it because it was the talk of the entire institute. A little bit later in the day, he said, as he passed out of the gate on LaSalle Avenue, he met this girl just coming in to the school. And she looked up into his face and she said, oh, Mr. Torrey, have you heard the news? And he said, yes, so-and-so told me about it. And he said, the way he put it was that she fairly danced in holy glee there on the sidewalk as she poured out her glad heart, and she said, Mr. Torrey, the most wonderful thing about it is that the Bible is a new book to me. I thought the Bible was a stupid book. I would have rather read an old almanac than the Bible. And she said, you did compel me by your lectures at Northfield to believe in the deity of Christ, but the Bible I could not endure. But oh, since I surrendered my will to God, what a wonderful book the Bible is. God is making marvelous revelations to me from the Bible every day. We need to have a will that is totally surrendered unto the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do you know what a tadpole Christian is? I don't know if you've ever heard of a tadpole Christian. Well, if you think about a tadpole, you know what a tadpole is? A tadpole is a little creature that is all head and no body. And there are some believers, there are some preachers like that. And they're all head and no body. They've got all this knowledge and all this information, but it never translates into daily life. And I think there are people who study the Bible, they dig into it, they might even spend hours with it just to gratify their curiosity on some of the great subjects that are there. And they dig into the Bible to prove their particular thesis, to hopefully find information that will support their belief. No, we should be studying the Bible to find out how to live so as to please God and then live that way. Dutiful studying of the Scriptures. Studying the Bible with eagerness, so that we will learn not just the history and the doctrines of Scripture, but in such a way that it makes a difference in the way that we live. We look at what happened in Scripture and we say, well, I want to avoid those pitfalls that these people fell into. I don't want to be like that. But these other people who lived for God and did a great work for God, I want to be like them. People will sometimes ask me what the best translation of the Bible is. Well, if they know me, they'll know what my answer is going to be. And it is a translation. I believe it to be the best translation, and that is the Authorized Version or the King James Version of the Bible. But I like what one young man said one day when boys were discussing this one day in a Bible college. What do you think the best translation is? And this young man said, I like Mother's translation best. Oh, Mother's translation. Which one is that? He said, she lived it. That's the best translation. She lived the Scriptures. And that is really where it's at, isn't it? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Is the Bible being translated into daily living where we are concerned? Something else that we need to think about, and we'll just mention it before we finish today, and that is when we study the Bible, when we read the Scriptures, we need to do so dependently. And I don't mean that we depend on this or that person's view of what the Bible says, but under the Holy Spirit's personal direction. We have to understand that by nature we're dense. By nature we get things wrong. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So the natural man has a problem right away. But of course, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're illuminated by the Spirit, we're indwelt by the Spirit. We do have spiritual discernment, but we don't know everything yet. We don't know everything as we ought to know. And we have to study the Bible, and we must do so with this thought in our minds. Again, I'm quoting Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I love how the margin puts that. The word that's used there is reveal. Lord, reveal it to me. Show me what it is that you're saying in your word. And are we not promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you look at what it says in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, here's something that we need to think about when we come to the reading and study of Scripture. The Bible says of Christ, Luke 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. He opened their understanding so that they would understand the Scriptures. Now there's a lot of things that you're not going to understand. There are a lot of things that I'm not going to understand. And there are things that I will think I have understood, but I have misunderstood. But I do believe that if we have a heart to do the will of God, the Lord will enable us and the Lord will help us. Someone said, do not study the Bible as the Christian Scientist studies it, through the spectacles of Mrs. Baker Eddy, in bondage to the book Science and Health. Reading the Bible through Mrs. Eddy's spectacles is to read it with badly smoked glasses. We don't want to do that. We don't want to put the Bible through the filter of somebody else when we're reading it. That's a dangerous thing to do. Don't study the Bible the way the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses study it. Of course, for a start, they produced their own version because the version that was there didn't suit their doctrines, so they would have to insert other things in there, so they came up with the New World Translation. But even when they do come to the Word of God itself, they do so through Charles Russell's spectacles. and they're reading the Bible in one hand with Millennial Dawn in the other hand. So they're not really studying the Bible dutifully or dependently. They're not studying the Bible correctly. Don't study the Bible the way the so-called Latter-day Saints study it, the Mormons, through the ridiculous Book of Mormon. You know, I could go off on a tangent here where this is concerned. I'll try to resist the temptation, but actually the Book of Mormon was proved to be, most of it, plagiarized material from a man called Solomon Spaulding, who was a backsliding Presbyterian preacher. Joseph Smith apparently put on these golden spectacles and found these golden plates up in the hill Cumorah somewhere in New York State. A load of nonsense, of course. Don't study the Bible through any man's spectacles or through somebody else's prism, but through the microscope of the Holy Spirit. Study the Bible under His direction. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And be very wary of those who come up with new doctrines, things that they've just discovered in the last 15 or 20 years that nobody heard of before that time. That's a very, very dangerous thing, and it's very prevalent in the day in which we live. You hear preachers sometimes say, well, now, you'll not hear any other preachers say this, and you'll not read this in any of the commentaries. And you know something's building. You know that something's coming. Oh, God's given to me a revelation. And you're all supposed to just bow and kowtow to that. That's not how we're to read the Bible. But rather we're to come to the Scriptures with a proper attitude and realizing that though there are many things that may be new to us, they're not new. There are no new doctrines. But some of the doctrines may be new to us. And we pray the Lord will come, as we read our Bibles and as we study our Bibles, that the Lord will come to us and give us a freshness about our study, and that we will feel, even if we've read something many, many times before, it is like a new doctrine because it has come with new power to our hearts. May the Lord help us as we study His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee today for Thy precious Word. I do pray that we will be not hearers only, but that we will be indeed doers of Thy Word. And this we pray, giving thanks for the Scriptures, in Jesus' name. Amen.